Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Sorry to bother you, but they need an extra person in the back room. Are you free?
I saw it. It was like it was twisting and fighting for its life.
We commend the souls of these hundreds of children. And Lord, we pray to end abortion.
I really appreciate what you've done for us. I'll not forget it.
22,000 abortions. How do I even comprehend that?
Rough day at the office.
You could say that. You're making a
mess. That's the trailer for the movie Unplanned. It was released on Blu-ray and DVD today. It has been out for many weeks here in the United States and doing well for a little movie that didn't get great distribution. Only recently released in Canada, and that gave Pastor Ted Geese the opportunity to go see the movie and join us for a review. Pastor Ted Geese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course at Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thank you.
I understand that Unplanned is only now being released in Canada. I think it's been 18, 19 weeks released in the United States. Why so long in Canada?
Well, it's actually out of theaters now in Canada and coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, and I guess it'll maybe be on streaming services, I don't know. But it came out in Canada July 12th, and it was in theaters for about a week, maybe a week and a couple days. The challenge here was there was no distributor who would take it on. So if you don't have a distributor for the film, you can't distribute it legally to the, you know, the theaters. Even independent theaters. So they had to get a distributor, and it took a long time to do that, in part because even before the United States, Canada had changed its laws to decriminalize abortion. And here in Canada also, in the midst of all of that, the laws here are, you can pretty much at this point have abortion at any time for whichever reasons you like along the way. So this is why, you know, like it was not an easy sell to find a distributor. And in the end, it was privately distributed by a Fredericton, New Brunswick based company. And they had to kind of actually make the company right from scratch for this purpose. So this guy, BJ McKelvey, and he's a pastor, not a Lutheran one, but and it was specifically this Fredericton-based CineCom Unplanned Canadian distributor. That's like the name of the company. So they were able to get it into a number of theaters here in Canada. But and actually, as a result of that, there was, in some of the major centers, there were some protests in front of theaters before, like on opening night, that kind of a thing.
If you would, for those who are unfamiliar with the plot of the story, we've talked about it before on the program. We've even talked to the woman whose story it's based upon. Mm-hmm. Tell us how the story of Unplanned goes.
Yeah, the story is, it's about a lady named Abby Johnson. And like you said, you guys had talked directly with her as well along the way. And she kind of starts, it's her life kind of journey in connection with Planned Parenthood in the United States. So she comes from a Christian background and wrestles with that aspect of, you know, her involvement with Planned Parenthood along the way through the film. But she starts off, it kind of starts with her becoming like a university student getting Planned Parenthood reaches out to her. She ends up being a volunteer for Planned Parenthood. She works in one of their abortion facilities, and she, you know, volunteering, kind of helping people get from their car into the building while there's protests going on. And they show the protests at the beginning, and some of the protesters are doing an admirable job, and other ones are maybe they have the right intentions, but they're not doing it in a very congenial way, let's say. So, you know, they kind of make a distinction between the way people might protest abortion in the film right off the bat. And then through the course of the film, she herself has experiences with abortions herself. It's based on a true story. This is pretty troubling stuff. And she herself would say that it's troubling stuff. And then also she eventually rises up to the rank of being like the person who kind of manages the Planned Parenthood location. And that's when, you know, part of the film is that she gets called into a room where the abortion is happening and is the one operating the ultrasound and sees the abortion occurring inside the mother's womb. And that kind of gets the gears turning in her head, and she starts to contemplate all of this. And eventually, by the end of the film, she's come out on the other side of all of it and is walked away from Planned Parenthood, joined the protesters, and has a personal story to tell about the cost of abortion and the death that occurs when a woman has an abortion. And then she herself had had them. So that's the film that you get.
So I want to talk a little bit about kind of the way the media ignored this film. They did in the United States, I'm sure they did in Canada too, because it's really a film about, if you take out the issue of abortion, about female empowerment in a lot of ways. And ordinarily the media would just go crazy over even kind of a B-list film that does this. How do you explain the media's silence or antipathy toward the film?
Well, it's the wrong story, right? Like they end up talking about it when it suits them, in the way that it suits them to talk about it. So when it did finally, you know, become apparent that it was going to be shown in Canada here, all of a sudden there was like, you know, some news stories about the controversy of showing it. And they talked about, you know, like, wow, this is going to put, why should we, like, even like Conservative Party MPs and people were coming out in favor of the film. And so it became a political thing. And it's like, well, do we want to send Canada back 50 years, et cetera? This is the kind of conversations that people were having. And they were talking about the film as propaganda. And this is the kind of conversation. So they were kind of smearing it in a particular light. And that's kind of the thing. So now this is, I think, kind of interesting, because you hit on something very important, that normally this is the kind of movie that a left-leaning mainstream media may really like, in that it's a story about, you know, female empowerment. Now, there's this test called the Brechdahl test, and this test kind of came out, well, not that long ago, really, but it's used kind of especially by, like, feminist film, you know, critics and, you know, people on the left as a way of detecting if a film is a good film for women. So it has these three kind of little rules, and they kind of, one builds on the other. So the Brechdahl test is, first, does the film have at least two women in it? So that's an important first one. The second one, who talk to each other about, and now this is the third part, something besides men, like, or something besides a man. So that's the test. And, you know, there's even a website for this, the, you know, you can go and see where they have all sorts of films and whether they've passed or failed the test. And to their credit, on that website, it does show that this film has passed the test. And what you get in the film then is all of the central characters are women. The men characters are these peripheral characters. They're secondary to the main plot of the film. They're not the center of it. And the conversations that are happening don't always involve them, almost never do in a lot of cases. especially the central ones. So, you know, like, again, this should be the sort of thing that would be really popular because it is a movie about female empowerment. It's just that the female at the center of it is being empowered towards something that doesn't fit the general narrative of the very people who put, like, the Brechtel test together.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest reviewing the movie Unplanned on this Tuesday, August the 13th. When we get back for the break, does the movie fairly depict both sides of the contentious abortion issue, both the pro-life side and the pro-choice side? Stay tuned. In the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Imagine this. What if you planned your vacation? You picked the location based upon where you knew there was a good Lutheran church. Well, we're here to let you know that if you're planning a Southern Oregon vacation, whether you visit Crater Lake, raft the Rogue, fish for salmon, or head down to the Redwoods, there's still a place for you to receive forgiveness. Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. What's a vacation without the gospel? Faith Lutheran Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit faithrogueriver.org.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Unplanned. Ted, does the film fairly depict both sides of the abortion issue, both the pro-choice side and the side that, as you and I do, so strongly object to abortion?
Like, no. I mean, this isn't equally balanced. It's definitely a film that pushes more towards abortion is not good for you or our nation or the world. That's the end result of this film. The movie is put together by Pureflix. So, you know, we've talked about Pure Flix before, and they're generally kind of in that quote unquote kind of Hallmark-ish kind of Christian movie category of things. And often, like when we end up talking about these films from Pure Flix, they tend to have like things like a lot of melodrama. They're kind of over the top. They definitely have this Baptist kind of evangelical theological leaning, Methodist kind of stuff in them. This film has some Christian content in it. It doesn't trade in melodrama in the way that other Pure Flix films do. So it's more of a drama. It's more serious than that. But it does. I mean, like, it doesn't treat people unfairly. I mean, I guess the one character that it treats the most, if you're going to say somebody was treated unfairly on the other side of things, it would be, there's this character of Cheryl, who was the director of the Planned Parenthood location that Abby Johnson first starts volunteering at. And of course, she bumps up further up in the Planned Parenthood kind of hierarchy, and they have continued contact with each other. And she's kind of is a little bit of a, you know, Disney kind of fairy tale villain character. Like she chews up the scenery a little bit too much and isn't as balanced a character as what you're talking about. Like, you know, is this a balanced movie? Well, characters like that within the movie make it less balanced. Let's put it that way. And, you know, a little more subtlety with that character probably would have been helpful overall for the film. But I think that it's not unkind overall to women who are coming to have an abortion at the clinic. It's not unkind to the other workers that are there. For the most part, it shows there's just a couple cases where it's like a little bit much. But then again, that might just have been the way it was, you know, because this is Abby Johnson's story. So, and there are some people in life that aren't the best examples of people.
What I had seen by way of review was that really pro-choicers shouldn't oppose the film so strongly, because it does paint a realistic picture of the pro-choice side, especially when Abby Johnson was pro-choice. Of course, it deals with her moral struggles there.
Yeah.
But it didn't paint her to be some sort of a mustache-twisting villain when she was running an abortion clinic.
No, exactly. And yeah, I mean, like, that's absolutely true. Like, and it shows people who have genuinely, like, there's that one scene that's kind of, it's a really kind of crazy disconnect in the film. Like, she herself, like, she's had abortions, but she decides she wants to actually have a child. And she gets married against, like, Cheryl, when she finds out about it, she tells Abby, I don't really like the idea of you getting married. She gets married anyways. And then she is going to have a baby and carry it to term. And she's pregnant, and she's the director of this Planned Parenthood place. And, of course, after hours, as soon as the day's done, they lock the doors, and then they bring out everything for a baby shower for her. Like, her coworkers, the people who work for her there, throw a baby shower for her at Planned Parenthood. And it's just kind of one of these kind of strange kind of disconnect kind of moments, but it's showing, you know, these people in a kind of a human light, that they're there as coworkers, and they're happy for this coworker of theirs who's having a baby, even though they work at a place where abortions are conducted.
The other thing that I'm curious about is how the movie deals with that moral struggle of hers, how it deals with that transition from someone who, well, to be fair, thought nothing of what she was participating in, to someone who realized what she had actually been promoting and participating in.
Well, she kind of bought the line that, you know, like, if up into a certain number of weeks into pregnancy, that prior to that, you know, it's not really, the baby's not a baby yet, and the baby doesn't have, like, a sense of pain and all of this kind of stuff. So she bought into that. So she was okay with it up into a point. The film shows her being very aggressive in helping women get their abortion before a certain number of weeks actually transpired, because after that point, she would be morally against them receiving an abortion. So she would kind of try to always say, well, you should get it earlier than later. So you see, like, she already has some lines, even at the very beginning, whether or not those lines are arbitrary. They're not actually realistic in the real world as to what is actually going on. But that was her deeply felt, you know, conviction at the time. And it wasn't until she was the director of the Planned Parenthood location, and then she was being told that they're going to start doing kind of later term and late term abortion stuff. And then she opposed that. So that was already kind of going on in her head. Now, I'd said that, you know, the majority of the conversations and everything happening are between women in this film, and that the men are kind of side characters. But there is a little kind of short conversation that happens between her fiance and her father, where the father, like, it's clear that the fiance is not okay with abortion, period, at all. And they're having, like, a little fight at the patio table or whatever about abortion. And then the dad and the fiance get a chance to talk. And the dad's like, so you disagree with her about all of this and her working at the abortion clinic? And the fiance says, yes. And you still want to get married to her? And he says, yes. And then the dad says, well, ain't love grand? So it paints in some places a really accurate kind of way that people have to deal with this within families, within, and her herself having to deal with the moral struggle that she's going through.
How did they depict that moment, if you will, that kind of when she realizes? I believe that when I interviewed Abby Johnson, she told us that it was in the course of actually assisting in an actual abortion that this realization came upon her, what was going on.
Yeah, it's super unsettling, and that comes very early in the film, and then the rest of the film is kind of, the majority of the rest of the film is in flashback. It's like, okay, so this is where I am, and then this is how I got to where I am, and then it takes a little bit for it all to sink in for her to finally get where she ends up. That's kind of like the way the film unfolds. And one of the things that I found was very, like, challenging about watching that, knowing what I was about to be watching, and then B, the abortion doctor, because he does this procedure over and over and over again, there is kind of like some callous kind of joking that occurs. And it's really hard. Like, that is the hardest part of the film to watch. And it is at the beginning of the film. And you can see, like, as it's all happening, the wheels are turning in her head. And she's like, by the end of it, she leaves. And she's locked herself in a utility closet or something. And one of the coworkers is knocking on the door. Do you want me to get the doctor for you? And she says, well, that's the last person I want to see right now. So that's the spot where all of the wheels start turning for her as to the gravity of what's really actually going on.
How does the story come to a conclusion?
Well, it comes to a conclusion with her not working at Planned Parenthood anymore and her ending up close with the protesters that have been protesting along the way. And the effective protesters are the ones that actually wanted to get to know her and, you know, were willing to stand by the gates and try to start conversations that would turn into, you know, eventually a friendship of some kind. So that's, and she, by the end of the film, she ends up with those people and her herself on the other side of the fence as a protester instead of a worker.
We're reviewing The Unplanned Movie. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We'll talk about the movie's quality right after the break.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. there's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Unplanned. It was released today on Blu-ray and DVD. Our guest is Pastor Ted Geese. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. The next hour of the program, we're going to be talking with Dr. Art Just about Mary, the mother of our Lord. We're going to deal with four stories from Luke's Gospel and beyond: the Annunciation, the Magnificat, the birth of Jesus, and the crucifixion. All four of those stories are included in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. It's a children's Bible called the Growing in Faith Bible Storybook. You can find out more about this great storybook for children ages 8 through 10 at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Growing in Faith Bible Storybook, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. Ted, how would you describe the quality, the production value of Unplanned?
You know, like we were just talking about how it's a PureFlix film. And so, like, there was some audio problems with the actual film. And I don't know if that was the file that was, because when we say film these days, it's not actual real film. It used to be actual film carted around in big, like, metal cases. Now it's, like, downloaded and, like, you know, off the internet and projected digitally. So I don't know if there was a problem with the file or something, the digital file, but there's some kind of bad audio quality stuff at the beginning of the film, which is unfortunate. And then overall, I mean, it has the same sort of quality as a lot of those films have. And it's not, cinematically interesting or anything like that, but it is gripping for its own reasons. You know, let's just say it's not going to win any Oscars, but it is a film that, you know, reveals some real dark truths and is worthy of consideration.
Is the issue of Christianity, issues of faith, brought into the film?
It is. And the thing is that she was like, she didn't become an atheist in order to work at Planned Parenthood. And she struggled with that herself. And even there's like coffee room conversation with people working there where they, you know, are talking about, well, you know, I was at my Catholic church and the priest was going on about how abortion's bad. And, you know, like, well, he doesn't really know what he's talking about. Like, there are some like little comments like that along the way. And by the end of it, her Christian faith is clearly a part of all of it, and also the protesters are shown praying. In fact, there's a part where they ask a delivery person whether they can pray over the, you know, what they would call medical waste, or like the human remains of the aborted fetuses, the aborted babies, to pray a prayer over those bodies, you know, because they're like kind of in drums or cases being moved, and they ask the person deliver, like picking up the delivery, if they can have the prayer. So it is clearly a part of the film, and at times a pretty powerful part. It's not like, I've heard some people say, well, there should have been more in there. I think for some viewers, like if people see this film, if pro-choice people end up seeing this film, they need to kind of go along for the ride, and this is a good start to really think about the topic, and then with some Christian religious content sprinkled in, that I think is more, it's the kind of thing that would probably go further, because it's not all on one side of things. You do have this kind of struggle about, like, is, like, with characters, like I was saying, in the coffee room and places like that, where they have to kind of compromise where they're at to be okay with doing what they're doing. And they show that. And then, of course, the central character is the one of Abby Johnson, who comes to a full realization of what's going on. And that's the important part of the film.
The theology that does come through in the film, how would you evaluate it?
Well, it's not, it's not a completely well-rounded, you know, film in terms of that. I mean, like, I think the thing that people would want to see would be, like, quotes from, you know, Psalm, like, 139, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, talking about how God makes us. Or, you know, for you formed me, my inward parts, you know, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Like, this is the kind of stuff that people would want to see really emphasized in the course of the film in terms of a theological point of view. And I look at the film maybe more as a conversation starter. I mean, it has been here in Canada. Like, I mean, there were some protests. And actually, some of the film, like the theaters, some of the people who run them actually received some death threats. People took this very seriously, and it provided an opportunity, even though the media was saying that it's kind of like propaganda, it did provide an opportunity to have a conversation, which often, like, that kind of conversation gets shut down pretty quickly often, and marginalized, let's say, for sure. But, you know, the other thing that's really, I think, interesting about the film is that it was only in like 49 theaters in Canada, and like for 1 week, right? So in its opening weekend, it really made a lot of money for a film that's only in that many theaters. And that shows that there's interest in the topic and people wanting to think about it and talk about it. So the per average theater number, it was like the second highest in North America when it opened in Canada for that weekend. And that's July. That's the prime time for big blockbuster movies and stuff. So that should tell people that, you know, had this had a wider release, I think at one point the largest release number, it was like 1,400 theaters or something was the largest release. Like if you add up all the American ones and the Canadian ones, it could have made a lot more money. And in fact, you know, like there were times where like they wanted to advertise, like in the States, this was a story down there, they wanted to advertise this movie on TV stations and cable stations and stuff. And they just were told, we don't want your money. We're not going to advertise this. So had this actually been a wide release film, like to the point that, like, I don't know, something like The Avengers was a wide release film, like one of the widest released films this year, Avengers Endgame, you know, like how many people might have seen it if it had been available in more markets, and people would have had an opportunity to get into that conversation or have an opportunity to have that conversation as a conversation starter. So, you know, like there was certainly a kind of a suppression of this film, or just not even so much a suppression, just like, we're just not going to help you promote this the way that normally other media outlets would help with that, because they don't want to have this conversation. You know, again, this is her story doesn't fit the narrative that they generally push in mainstream media or media outlets in general. So, you know, like that's, I maybe that kind of helps paint a little bit of a bigger picture of the whole thing. But now it is available on DVD and Blu-ray. So, you know, people can on their own purchase a copy and watch it with friends or, you know, people, or give it to people who they might want to start that conversation with.
I read one review from a pro-choice viewer of the film, and she said, didn't change my mind, but, and I paraphrase, I thought it was a very fair representation of the situation and a very believable story. What does that reaction tell you, Ted?
Well, I mean, that's like a touchdown, right? Like that's amazing. Like I would hope more and more people, because there are people who had to review this film because it was their job to review films. There was a McLean's reviewer who said something like, I saw this movie so you don't have to. And I know what that's like. I see sometimes films that I wouldn't normally want to see, and people can take advantage of the fact that I saw it and I can talk about it. In this particular area, like when it comes to this topic, to have people say that kind of thing about the film is very helpful, because that is actually how meaningful dialogue can begin. If it could be a little bit broken down, this whole us and them, to be able to have an actual conversation where, you know, the gravity and real life, you know, experiences can be shared and talked about in a way that's not as antagonistic, that's the direction you want the conversation to go. So, you know, and again, like it was made for like $6 million and it made almost $19 million. When it has the full advertising, which this film didn't have, it needs to double its initial cost in order to break even and make money. So this film, again, proves that this is something that people actually want to be thinking about and talking about, and it would be worthwhile for other filmmakers to tackle this topic. And the question is it going to be, however it gets tackled, is it going to be a hit piece for Planned Parenthood or a hit piece against Planned Parenthood? Is it going to open up a conversation, or is it going to shut down conversations? That is the thing that I think people would need to think about. But I can almost guarantee you that at some point in the next couple years, you're going to get like some major things from Hollywood. And actually, you're already getting it in TV shows and stuff where, you know, they work stories about abortions into their storylines so that it normalizes it and makes it like a nicer thing in terms of people's outlook or thoughts about Planned Parenthood. So this, there's something going on here, but this side of the story almost never gets told, and people do want to hear it.
Finally, then, the question of who actually sees this film, what would your ideas or recommendations be for families who want to see this film?
Well, you know, families, like parents know their kids. So if you have a particularly mature kid who could, you know, see the movie and process it and you can talk about it with them, it could be very helpful. I don't think that, like, in Canada, it had different ratings in different provinces. So it was PG in one province. Another province had it as, 14A. I know in the States it was rated R, which is kind of strange. If it's rated R, it would mean that there are kids, young, like teenage girls, who could go get an abortion, but they wouldn't be able to go see the movie, which is kind of a bizarre thing. So, you know, I would say that it wouldn't be a bad thing for younger women to see. But the question is, are they mature enough to take in what they're seeing? Because it's not a fictional story. I mean, it's fictionalized, you know, like it's a true, quote unquote, true story. And it is based on a real person. And there is actually a book as well that she wrote before it was turned into a movie. So some people who find that the film itself might be too visceral for, like, especially that scene early in the film, for watching it, they may in fact be better served by having a chance to read the book.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his reviews of movies under the on-demand archives at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we're going to be talking about Mary, the Mother of Our Lord. The Church observes and remembers her on the 15th of August. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. He has a fascinating parallel in his commentary on Luke between Mary and the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant. It is truly remarkable to consider that Mary is in fact the New Testament Ark of the Covenant as she carries the Christ child in her womb. We'll talk about that in Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.